Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and good afternoon to people on the East Coast. Good morning on the West Coast, and it's midday here in Central Texas. My name is Paul Segreto. We're at the Franchise Today Show. Today's topic is building a franchise brand yesterday, today, and tomorrow. As my special guest today is Jonathan Martin, Vice President of Franchise Development at Retire at Home Services. As we indicated last week on Franchise Today, this is a relaunch of our old show, which started out as Franchise Essentials and evolved into Franchise Today, except now we're a little bit more focused on certain topics pertaining to franchising as a way to help franchisors and franchise systems and brands continue to grow, and a lot of it is centered around integrated franchise marketing, development, and media. As we move forward, we'll have on as special guests various franchise executives and professionals from the industry. So anybody that is interested in participating as a guest, please send me an email at paulsegreto@fmdpro.com or pick up the phone. Remember that old phone. Pick it up, 832-838-4822. Give me an idea of your availability. Give me an idea of what you'd like to talk about, and we'll go from there. As I said, this week on Franchise Today, I have as my special guest Jonathan Martin, who's the VP at Retire at Home Services. But moving forward, before we get to Jonathan, who's probably sitting there anxiously up in Canada waiting to actually share some of his information about Retire at Home Services, we did a webinar yesterday, Franchise Essentials as a co-sponsor with SmartFinds Internet Marketing, and the webinar was Local Business E-Listings for Franchise Owners. It was done actually Tuesday. The podcast is now available at www.fmdlocalmarketing.com. It's really interesting information. We had quite a few people on the webinar, and I think it's something that franchise organizations need to look at, and it's a great way for franchise locations to replace that expensive yellow page marketing. You know, came back from the IFA convention last week, was really pleased, and we discussed some of that last week, but I wanted to talk a little bit about FranGuard, the new program that was officially launched by the IFA. And basically, it's an expanded franchise sales management and compliance program to help franchisors reduce risks, manage growth, and build stronger, healthier franchise systems. As I said, it was announced and introduced and rolled out at the IFA's 50th annual convention in San Antonio. And, you know, basically the program is designed to educate franchisors about their obligations. And yes, they are obligations under federal and state laws here in the States governing the offer and sale of franchises. And of course, it promotes sound compliance practices. The program was developed and created as part of IFA's ongoing work with the Federal Trade Commission to develop educational programs to help the industry, the franchise industry, comply with regulations and build strong, sustainable systems. Take a look at the IFA website at franchise.org. Look for the FranGuard information. I think you'll be more than happy what you see. I highly recommend that you get involved in it. You know, brings us to an interesting topic of discussion that's been going around on some of the LinkedIn groups, specifically the franchise groups, that was posted about social media, franchise marketing, and earnings claims. And it seems like there's a lot of different opinion on whether the same rules apply within social media, and then somebody actually brought out whether the same rules apply, as he said, about a broker listing with all the juicy metrics from a franchise system in his packet, and that, you know, all that information makes its way through a quote-unquote informal circuit and ethnic groups and social media comments. I posted on that. I would recommend you read it. That's at LinkedIn Groups, the Franchise Executives Group. And basically, my point on this is just how I ended that. As come on, we all know what's acceptable. We're all professionals, and we know what's not acceptable. And if there's doubt, it's not worth the risk of noncompliance and all that goes with it and all the consequences that go with it. You know, the old adage is, if it looks like a duck, if it sounds like a duck, you know what? It is a duck. So take a look at that, LinkedIn Franchise Group, Franchise Executives, as well as a couple of other LinkedIn groups have the same post, and I'd highly recommend you take a look at it. So without further ado, let's turn to my special guest, Jonathan Martin, as I said, the Vice President of Franchise Development at Retired Home Services. You know, prior to his position as Vice President of Franchise Development, Jonathan spent 12 years as Executive Director with Retire at Home. I always want to say retirement. It's Retire at Home. Jonathan was responsible for the company's operations, including the development of the operations manual, corporate policies, staff recruiting and retention activities, marketing programs, and back office systems. During that time, Retired Home grew from 15 employees to over 150 under his operational control and actually won awards for client services and business leadership. Now, in his franchise development role, Jonathan's poised to build upon past success in fortifying the Retire at Home system and brand. With aggressive plans to take Retirement Home through Canada from Nova Scotia to British Columbia, and British Columbia sure is in the spotlight right now with the Winter Olympics in Vancouver. What a beautiful area. Jonathan has continued to solidify franchise development plans that will hopefully attract specific franchise candidate targets as opposed to offering the opportunity to the masses, a goal that he trusts will result in high-quality franchise candidates and ultimately successful franchisees. Jonathan, welcome to Franchise Today.
Paul, thanks very much for having me. First of all, I just wanted to say how much I appreciate you having me on your show. I've done some past work with you and Franchise Essentials, and the quality of your work and certainly the breadth of knowledge that you have in this field is wonderful. So thanks again for having me on the show.
Well, thank you very much. That's very kind. Tell us a little bit about Retire at Home Services. I know it's Canadian-based. Give us a little bit of insight into Retire at Home and the segment of the industry that Retire at Home focuses on.
Well, to take you back to the very beginning, my mother actually founded Retire at Home in 1994. She's been a registered nurse for almost 40 years now. And she really saw a need back in the early 90s for a real attention to detail for senior services in the community. She started the business from the living room of the home, and really with one client and one employee, just started focusing on providing a very personalized service. The goal of the business since day one has always been to put the client first, put our staff a very close second, and really try to build an organization that is focused on the quality of the care. So having built the company one client at a time, one step at a time, we've really been able to establish ourselves as a premium care company. We've never taken on too large a contract or too many clients at a time where the quality of our service may have suffered. And through that growth, we really found a system that worked for us that, provided that quality of care, provided that attention to detail for our clients, but also was able to, build and grow a strong system and a profitable one at that.
Great.
So over the years, as we built the company in the Ottawa market, we were only one office for, the first 13 years of our existence. We achieved a national accreditation with Accreditation Canada. That established ourselves as a company that met national standards in the Canadian market. And through some of those programs that we put in place, whether it was our hiring practices, our assessment procedures, health and safety programs, we were really able to build a franchise model for potential franchisees that wanted to get into this market, and not just provide not just provide a home care service that that help people, but really do so in a quality fashion.
That's very interesting, and it's really a breath of fresh air when I hear of an organization spending that much time, 13 years before even venturing into the franchise side. I think it's very safe to say that you quite effectively perfected your system.
Well, we did, and we're always perfecting it. It's never an end project, I guess. You continue to work and strive to better and improve your systems as you go. As we all know, the world changes constantly. Certainly in healthcare it does, and in franchising for that matter. So it was important for us to establish a strong base before getting into the franchise model. We actually started thinking about this back in 2002. As a way of expanding our company, and spent 5 years, honing in on what really made us successful, documenting each stage of the process, and making sure that our system would make sense for our franchisees. As much as we talk about the quality of our care and ensuring that our clients are happy, that our staff are happy, and that we're building strong community partnerships, there also has to be a business model in here for the franchisees as well. And we really wanted to ensure that the quality and all of that made sense from a bottom line perspective as well.
Absolutely. Now, your mom, is she still active in the company?
Yeah, very much so. She's although she doesn't, put herself into the day-to-day operations of supporting and building franchises, she does run the Ottawa operations, which in fact runs much like a franchise office would. But she does play a part in helping us choose the franchisees that come through. We have a very rigorous process that we put our franchise applicants through, and she's certainly part of that. She kind of sits at the helm of the quality of care. She runs still the accreditation programs, some of the health and safety that we do from a head office perspective. And every step of the way when we approve franchisees, she's looking at whether they will continue, the good name of our company in their community. So she's certainly involved in that way.
I find that extremely exciting that a founder of a company that finally got to franchising spends so much time tuned into the operation of one of the offices and like you said, the accreditation program, as opposed to, just sitting up at the top perch waiting for the franchise system to grow. I think that's just a tremendous breath of fresh air, and my hat's off to her. That is tremendous.
Well, she's a wonderful lady, but she really is focused on it. She is a nurse at heart, and we are, for the most part, we are a home care company at heart. We want to ensure that the services we provide are that's what's going to make our whole system successful at the end of the day. You could sell 100 franchises in a year, but if none of them are providing a great service, your system really isn't going to go anywhere. So, that's really what we hold on to dearly is that reputation and quality.
Absolutely. Many franchise companies and a lot of small businesses, for that matter, start out as family-operated businesses. And as you said, Retire at Home is a family-operated business. How does that benefit your franchisees? How do those benefits translate to your franchisees?
Well, I never really realized the corporate culture that was built many years ago. But from our founding days, when we were just a small, one office operation with maybe a dozen staff and a couple dozen clients, we had full-time staff that were actually working out of our living room, working out of our basement. And they really became part of the family. They were treated like family. Our clients were treated like family. Many people from the Ottawa area may not know, but we had a huge ice storm in the 90s that put power outages for weeks in certain areas of the city. We actually housed one or two of our clients in our own living room. That's the kind of company that we've always been, is really creating that family atmosphere. What we've done over the years is try to translate that into our recruitment and retention strategies for staff, and even more so into our recruitment strategies for franchisees and the support programs that we provide to them. We always say that we treat our franchisees like family. The franchise agreement that we sign is a 10-year term plus another 10 years renewable. 20 years for all intents and purposes is a lifetime. It's like you're getting into a family type of atmosphere. So we try to work very closely with them. Their success is our success. And we really try to treat them in ways that we would treat our family. And we feel that that's created a corporate culture that people want to be a part of.
So as we all know, a lot of franchises, claim to be like one big family. In this instance, it appears that Retire at Home walks the walk and talks the talk.
It's a challenge every day for sure, but we do walk the walk and talk the talk, wherever possible, whenever possible. It's extremely important to us. It doesn't come without its challenges. As we all know, family, for good or bad, can have, all kinds of, positive times and down times. But at the end result, you stick together, you work together, and you always work towards an end goal. And that's really what the key to the success is.
And we talked about, some of this over the last few days, and I just want to go off track a little bit because you bring an interesting point. And I think back to, the concept of retired home and obviously the clients that you have. Do you think because of the circumstances that you're in and home health care and obviously later on in life and some with debilitating, illnesses and stuff like that, do you think that adds to the family aspect of it? Because obviously there's got to be some type of closeness that develops when you're dealing with people that are later on in life.
Well, it's funny how I've learned over the years what this type of service and what this type of business really provides to the community and to the families that we deal with. It's wonderful to be successful in business, but never did I think at an early age that you could really, be successful, from the matters of the heart as well. It is so rewarding to, at the end of the day, to get a phone call or a letter from a family member, almost in tears sometimes, just thanking us for, allowing dad to pass away at home, or for bringing mom home from, surgery in a hospital. And in many cases, for a lot of seniors that don't have family who are either close by or don't have family at all, we do become somewhat of a surrogate family to these people. So, absolutely, that creates the family atmosphere in a lot of cases. I can think of, a ton of examples where we, go to a long-term client's home for their birthday celebrations, or, even just, send little notes around Christmas or the holidays to, let people know that we're thinking about them. And that definitely adds to the family atmosphere of our company, for sure. It's a wonderful place to be.
Wow. As ironic as that seems, a couple of months ago when you and I first started working together and I was in Florida, I was actually in Florida because my father-in-law had taken ill, and we were there caring for him in the last days, and hospice had come in, and we really felt like it was a very strong family type situation. As a matter of fact, my mother-in-law, even right now, is still in touch with the people from hospice and is still providing her with some grief counseling. But it is so close, like family, and that's why I asked that question. And I don't know if you even knew at the time when we first started talking that I was going through that. So it's really ironic how people's paths cross. Let me get back off that, home health care, obviously appears to be growing very rapidly, especially as the population continues to age. How will Retire at Home keep up with the increasing demand in the markets where you are currently, and then, of course, in other markets throughout Canada that might be part of your expansion strategy?
I'm not necessarily concerned about keeping up with the demand. What we're most concerned about, again, is providing a quality service and ensuring that we, maintain strong community partnerships with organizations in the communities that we're in. As we know, as you've just mentioned, the demand for home care services and certainly the seniors population is going to be growing drastically over the next 30 years. I don't feel that opening up more offices quickly or hiring more staff quickly or providing more services more quickly is going to be the answer to meeting that. I truly believe, and our organization truly believes, that you take one step at a time in this industry, that you ensure the services you're providing meet the quality demands that people are looking for. And by doing so, by establishing strong relationships, by ensuring that each client, each employee, each piece of service that you're delivering is meeting people's standards, that's how you'll continue to grow in the industry over the next, say, 20 or 30 years, as we know that's really the growth curve that we're looking at down the road. To use an example, you may consider that the turtle might win this race. We do hear a lot of times how some companies have grown too quickly, that the quality of service has diminished. And when you're talking to healthcare professionals in the community, be it doctors, social workers, nurses, people that are on the front lines dealing with the clients, they know which organizations are providing good service. And that really is, part of our strategy on being able to continue to grow over the long term.
Well, so for 13 years, the company grows very methodically. It perfects systems. And in a relatively short period of time, you've built a pretty solid base of franchise operators. Now, so you're definitely poised towards growth. Well, and I hear what you're saying as far as not having a primary objective of keeping up with demand, but there's got to be a balance there. How aggressive are your expansion plans for retire-at-home services?
Well, to backstep it up, although we've now awarded our 13th office just last week, and in the Calgary market, and we've over the last 2 years or so have received over 1,200 applications for those 13 franchises. So although we have been moving quite steadily over the last 2 years, and some organizations might look at that and say, well, that's not quick growth, but we feel it's been steady. We are taking our time to find the right people. So we do have intentions to continue to grow. We haven't put a number on it. So I wouldn't say that it's going to be 30 this year or by next year or whatever that number is. What I can tell you is that we're continuing to review applications constantly. We are continuing to look at the marketplace and the people that are applying. And as we find good people and as we feel our ability to support them and build them and train them properly, we will continue to move in that direction. To say that we might do one a month over the next couple of years might be a very realistic projection, but it may be less or more than that depending on the quality of the people that are coming through.
Well, with that in mind, do you ever foresee Retire at Home Services as the largest, most recognized franchise company of its kind in Canada?
The word largest is not in our goals. That number doesn't excite me too much. What really our goals and objectives are focused on are being the most reputable for providing a quality service. Whether that's 13 offices that we have today or 100 that we may have someday down the future, that to me is not relevant. What's more relevant is ensuring that the communities that we are in, we're providing a great service. So that would really be the goal there, is to establish ourselves from a quality perspective.
That's very interesting. To that end, I know you're exploring new ways of attracting franchise candidates, more or less high quality franchise candidates that might be more apt to succeed. You've spent years, to perfect this system, and obviously want to make sure that people succeed within the system. But changing gears a little bit, what forms of marketing are you currently using and exploring to attract a more high-quality franchise candidate?
So to go back to our first days of, the strategy we've had over the last 2 years, we have focused almost entirely on the internet, but more with a shotgun approach. Because we're a new franchise system over the last 2 years, our slate was basically clean in terms of areas that we could develop in. So a shotgun approach made a lot of sense to us. As we have now established 13 offices in Canada and are looking, over the next 2 years of areas that we want to establish an office in, we know that we have to start focusing on more regional efforts, but still online is the focus. So we've done some franchise portals and whatnot over the last couple of years. And now as we look into going forward, our goal is really to find people in very specific markets. So we've been looking at things like social media tactics, localized ads within, city search engines, these kinds of things, to really find people in those markets that we need to find them in. But it is almost entirely online, with the exception, I guess, of a few nursing magazines and things like that that we know some of our target readers might be reading.
I admire the effort you're putting into learning how to use social media in your expansion efforts. What prompted your decision to embrace social media?
Well, it's hard to ignore it. You go online to find where people are searching, where people are communicating, how people are spending their time on the internet, and you just can't ignore the sheer power of the social media, I guess, industry. It's really taking over in so many ways. It allows people to share information. It allows people to communicate and chat. And in ways that almost no other media can provide, certainly with the cost that we see for putting a print ad in somewhere, you could spend that kind of money on developing programs online, and being able to openly communicate with the people that are interested, and hopefully find more people that just through search engine optimization and things like that social media can provide as well.
Very good. I know just recently you've launched into Twitter. We've worked together on that. Can you share a little bit about the experience of venturing into something like Twitter?
Well, I've mentioned this to you in the past as when we did some work together, that I was actually a little bit quite nervous to get into it. I've grown up with the fear over many years that once things are out there on the internet, they're out there forever, and so it is important to be careful and be sure that things that you're putting out are the right message and aren't dating you maybe at some point. So as I looked into Twitter and LinkedIn and a lot of these sites and these tools, I was a little reluctant to start posting or to start sharing information. But once I started doing it, I started to realize how wonderful it is. People communicate right back. People want to share right back, and the people that are out there using it are very open and in many ways very friendly with others that want to do the same. So I'm still wouldn't say that I'm anywhere near fully open to communicating that way, but I know I'm definitely on the path to getting there as I'm learning more and more about it.
Well, your target candidates are very specific. How do you ultimately see social media helping to locate and attract those very specific targets?
Well, people who are in certain industries, who have certain experiences or enjoy certain things in life, look for those things online. And so what we hope to do is, I don't think it's any surprise that nurses are certainly one of the target markets that we have for our franchisees. They're not the only one, but they're certainly one of the categories. And nurses will spend some time and search for things online in certain ways. There are certain topics they're interested in. There are certain pieces of information that they want to gather, educational topics, anything like that. And we feel that social media can certainly help us tap into those communities. We also feel that through social media, we can provide information to those people that might be helpful to them, whether they're looking for a career change, a business opportunity, or even just a way to help a senior in their marketplace with some challenges that they might be facing in their own home. We're not getting into social media just to sell a franchise. That's certainly not it. Our corporate mandate has always been to educate people on the challenges that seniors and their families face, and we feel that we can certainly do that through this medium as well. But by knowing what people search for, how people look on the internet for things, we feel social media can certainly help us tap into those markets properly.
How would you address the person, and I'm sure you get this because, and again, there's a little bit more of a personal twist to this because I recently went through this, as I said, down in Florida, and you leave the experience with whoever the caregiver that comes in, and it's a great experience, and, in our case, Dad passed away, and the caregivers gave us so much spiritual help, emotional help. I mean, it was just tremendous. So how do you address people that say at that point or contact you shortly afterwards and say, Jonathan, I never knew this was could be an entrepreneurial opportunity. I'm really interested in learning more about your opportunity. And of course, these people come in from all walks of life, but they had a very organic, a very personal experience and now want to take the next step. Do you see that as a challenge? I mean, how do you address something like that?
Well, to first tell you, I feel, extremely blessed with the position that I'm in because I do talk to people like that every single day, people that have either lost a loved one or been through challenges with a loved one. They either had a horrible experience and want to make a change in their community, or they had such a wonderful experience with it that they want to continue on with that. And, so I do speak with people that are coming from the heart and have a truly compassionate desire to make a difference out there. Obviously, they want to do well in business as well, but it comes from a special place. And sorry, your question is how do I feel the challenge in finding some of these people out there? Is that the
not so much finding them, but you have somebody that they've now been through it. They see that wow, this is something. Maybe it's close to my heart. I've always wanted to get into business. This would be great, and they run with it. And they're not coming to you with specific experience per se. So how do you work them into your system? I mean, do you see them as ultimately being an ideal franchise candidate?
Well, certainly having experience with a family or through yourself is certainly a plus, but it's not everything that we look for. We as I mentioned before, we do go through a rigorous process of approving our franchisees, and it is one of many things that we look at. When it comes to nursing, for instance, or having healthcare experience, that would be one of our first to look at. But it doesn't mean that all nurses or all healthcare professionals would be good business owners as well. So we do look at a cross mix. We have two different profile tests that we use in our application process. One is a personality profile test. Another one looks at business acumen and all kinds of factors that that are known to make a successful business or a successful franchisee. So where we may have a non-healthcare professional with no industry experience but brings to the table a lot of wonderful factors that we feel are important to developing a business and leading a healthcare team in our community, then we would highly consider them. And in other cases where there might be a nurse who brings all of that compassion and certainly that healthcare experience, but lacks, business knowledge or the ability to, maybe some sales and marketing background or whatnot, we would have to tailor our support to those people. So we don't have a definite, very specific profile, but what we rather do is look at our team, look at our system, look at the person that is applying, and say, do we feel that we can alter our support or lend our support in different ways to help that person be successful? And that's part of the process that we go through with the application. And as I mentioned, certainly having that experience, if you're a non-healthcare professional, certainly having that experience with family or even with yourself, it puts those people in the shoes of their clients or the clients' families to understand what it's really going to take to provide this service.
Right, right. Well, you know, talking in a little bit more generalistic term right now, what do you think makes a good franchisee in general?
In general, I'd have to say dedication, hard work, and compassion for your clients, and a passion for the business as well. Providing services to seniors in their homes, dealing with the challenges that they face, dealing with the challenges that their family face, it's not easy, but it can really warm your heart in many ways. It can take a lot of hours out of the day. You have to want to get out and build the business, build community partnerships, hire staff members. There's a lot of things that go into the, owning and running this type of a business. If you're dedicated to this idea, if you truly believe in the quality of the service and what you're providing, you're a compassionate person who wants to make a difference, I think those are really the key aspects of a person who will be successful in this.
Well, you talked about nurses. You talked about people with a personal experience, if you would, with home health care and a family member needing that type of assistance. Are there any other target candidates that would be good for your type of business?
An energetic, outgoing person. This is not the type of business that can be developed from your armchair of your office. You need to get out and build community partnerships, educate people on the challenges that are being faced out there. Comfortable speaking to not total strangers, but certainly people who you may have briefly met through other walks of life about the service that you provide and how this service can benefit the clients that they may be dealing with or the organizations that they work with. That outgoing, energetic personality, somebody that's wants to get out and be part of the community, that really is a key.
Have the target candidates changed much since the company began franchising a few years ago?
No, not necessarily. We've been learning some lessons in terms of personality types and these kinds of things, but we are still very open to a business person who wants to make a life change and come into this type of field. We're still very open to a nurse who may not bring much, a business experience, but really wants to learn in that aspect. It really is honing in on the individual and finding ways to make it fit if they are, a good fit. But we are still quite open with that. We don't have any preconceived notions of who that person has to be at this early stage of our growth.
Mm-hmm. Moving forward, do you see that changing?
Possibly. Depending on, various successes of our franchises, that may change. We're certainly not set in our ways. We're always willing to improve and grow and, change our way of thinking if it requires to do so. So it may very well change as we move along. We're very we track all kinds of different things that happen in our organization, and we review challenges and successes that we've had. So it may very well change as we move along.
Very good. A lot of companies get to the point of looking at area development and stuff like that in order to grow, and certainly. You had to have been thinking about that a little bit down the road as the prospects of expanding across such a big nation as Canada and providing support in faraway places from where you are in Ottawa all the way over to, let's say, Vancouver. But, there's such a personal aspect of your franchise concept. I mean, do you think it's possible for somebody – you know, to look at this on an area development standpoint and say, you know, financial wherewithal notwithstanding, okay, put that aside. But is it possible for them to say, yeah, I want to have 5 retired home services in the Vancouver area, and I'm going to manage it from an area development standpoint? I mean, is that possible within your business model?
It is possible, but not. We've looked at that already, and we are currently looking at it. But we're not. We're looking at it with a, you know, obviously a fine tooth comb, because as you mentioned, there is a very direct relationship with, you know, us as a family and our desire to really make sure that the quality of the service is there. So if we ever decide that we're going to get into a model like that, it would have to make sense from a training perspective, from a quality control perspective, from an application approval perspective as well. So, you know, the typical area developers agreement may not necessarily work with our company, but maybe some version of one would. So again, we're very open to those kinds of things, but always making sure that our goals and objectives for the organization are kept intact as we move along.
You know, I could see down the road, a little bit tongue in cheek, but, you know, certainly serious, when we talk down the road and I say, Jonathan, who's your ideal franchise candidate for area development? And you show me a picture of your mom. And I think being able to duplicate everything that she's accomplished to date probably would be good as a franchise candidate profile in the future.
Yes, but my mother would be the first to say that, you know, she brings the nursing and the quality control and everything into play, but she has never necessarily brought the deep business experience behind. So it might be a combination of those things. Certainly someone who has our goals and visions in mind and understands, you know, the steps that need to be taken in order to, you know, maintain the reputation of the company.
Yeah, I want to take a little bit change of direction here and
sure,
ask you a little bit on a personal level. You know, there's a lot of franchise companies, as we said, start out with family-owned business. And a lot of franchise founders have brought their children into the organization, and it seems like you've really grown with it. I mean, certainly I don't have any impression of a silver spoon in your mouth and taking advantage of the situation, and you are where you are just because you're the founder's kid or anything like that. How has this experience been for you in your personal development and your business development moving forward, number one? And number two, do you ever come across somebody that says, you know, Jonathan, you're only here because of your mom, and they want to circumvent you and go to your mom? How does that all play into your day-to-day?
Well, you know, to let you know, we've been a member of an organization in Canada called the Canadian Association for Family Enterprises, and we've been a member of that for many years. And I have to tell you that, you know, many years ago, I certainly felt as though I was under the shadow of, you know, my mother, who founded the business. And from day one, anyone who knows me very well knows that I'm a very ambitious, hardworking person. You know, I'll never say that I'll do something without doing it. And in the first few years, absolutely, I felt that I had to prove myself to everybody, that I had to earn my stripes in the company. So, you know, I set out to do that. I worked very, very hard. I continually, you know, put my stamp on things, you know, added to the business. I was, you know, at work every single morning, first thing, and, you know, whether it was the, you know, first to leave, first to arrive, last to leave kind of thing, but proved to everybody that I had a position here because I had something to contribute to the company. That feeling has left me over the last few years. I do feel as though I don't have that shadow anymore. And if you talk to people that do have family organizations like that, the children of the founders often feel that way. And it is important, you know, not to follow the shadows, but to kind of carve your own path in a way that makes sense for everybody involved. I could have been given an opportunity and done nothing with it. I was given an opportunity and made something of it. So I do feel as though I've earned, you know, those stripes, very proud of it, and have had to walk that line with my mother all along the way. Do what's best for the family and do what's best for the company at every stage of our growth.
Well, I'm sure your mom is proud of you just as you are proud of her. That's really great, because I've worked with a lot of franchise organizations where I've seen a lot of turmoil between family members. You know, what advice can you give children of founders in franchise organizations? Can you give just...
Well, the advice that I would give to the whole family is that, you know, you have two entities that to take care of. One is the family and one is the organization, and both have different challenges, different goals and objectives, and both have to be taken care of in a very clear and concise way. A family business, everybody will attest to this who is in a family business, that there are challenges there. You want to make sure that your Sunday night dinners don't turn into Monday morning boardroom meetings. You want to make sure that that line is divided. It's easier at some times, it's more challenging at other times. But the goal here, if I was to say to the founders, let the children spread their wings within the organization, and to the children, make sure that if you're spreading your wings, that it makes sense for the older generation as well. Work together on it. You may have different visions of the company, you may have different goals and objectives, but ultimately they have to coincide if you're going to be successful with it.
Certainly it helped working your way up through the organization. I mean, at least, your organization wasn't already franchising, which I see a lot of times when there's a franchise company that has a parent, obviously, at the top, and they bring the children in. I see them fast-tracking into franchise development. And I guess they feel that's where they need the least amount of training. But I'm sure you agree that having cut your teeth on the operations side, the training side, the operations manual, building the back office systems, absolutely was to your benefit into the position you're in today.
Would you absolutely
agree? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was a period of time during those 6 years, 5 or 6 years, where we were developing the franchise program, where I did want to get it out and get it to market a little faster. But, having, sat down with, the family and really looking at it, we decided, at certain times we just weren't ready. This needed to be fixed a little bit more. This part of the apple needed to be polished a little bit more. And so we really did, take our time with it. But having that experience of building in your own backyard, you see some franchise systems dive right into it, in day one or in year one. It is so important to understand why the business is successful in your own backyard, and to document, every step of the process and make sure that it does make sense for other people. And it's not an easy program. I often joke about my receding hairline, and it has to do with the fact that, the operations manuals and the systems and everything else, we spent so much time and effort, fixing them. And it certainly was to our benefit now.
Obviously, healthcare, has a lot of rules and regulations to follow. There's the accreditation process that you went through. So, there's a lot of rules, there's a lot of guidelines, there's a lot of things to follow. Did the fact that the same is true in franchising slow you down, say we're already used to doing that, or was it of the opinion, well, now we've got to do that too? Kind of give me a little bit of your thought process and how you and your mom went to that and finally decided to get into franchising.
Well, from the standpoint of where I was looking at in 2003 and looking forward, I ran the numbers. I drew up a business plan to understand, why we would get into franchising and everything else. But at that time, I did not realize what it would take to meet all of the standards and ensure that we have a program that makes sense, and to ensure that we have a franchise agreement that, protects the business but is also workable for the franchisees. I mean, there are so many regulations out there, and it is so important to ensure that you're following them. At times, it seemed a little overwhelming, for sure. It's important that that you meet those, and it's important for your system that they're followed. But it never really deterred us. We just took our time with it. If we ran into a roadblock or if we ran into something that needed to be changed or needed to be updated, we just made sure that we took our time to do it. And that was really the key, was just taking the time to make sure that the system was in place. But yeah, there are times where you look at it and you say, geez, that's a lot of work that has to go into it. But if you really believe in the idea and you feel you've got the funding and the stamina and everything else to get through it, obviously that it has to be done.
Was there any time that Mom said, let's just stay the course?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There was a time, for sure. The franchising division of our company was my idea for the most part, was my baby. My parents, both of them, sat down with me over time, and it took us probably a year and a half to 2 years just to work out how the two divisions of the company, the two separate companies really, would coincide, what the relationship would be like, how they would benefit, how they would support, and reversely. And so it did take a lot of time putting, family goals and objectives in there, putting the company goals and objectives in there, and making sure that it worked for everybody.
Very nicely done, because, today's topic, building a franchise brand yesterday, today, and tomorrow, I think I can, take what you're saying and, put one word behind it all, and that would be methodical. You went through a 13-year learning curve, if you would, perfecting the system, making sure it was all in place, ironing out all the kinks while dealing with the day-to-day challenges, both of running a business and, of course, providing the services to your clientele under, sometimes very daunting circumstances. Getting to the point of being very methodical in even exploring franchising and spending, as you said, from 2002 to, up to a few years ago before you actually, pulled the trigger and started franchising. So, again, it's very methodical. And now it seems like your process to, grow the system is very methodical in nature, too. Regional growth, very targeted franchise candidates. I mean, would you agree that methodical might be the key word here?
Well, it has to be. I mean, that's what franchising is really all about. Franchising is all about systems and steps and processes and making sure that the recipe, I guess, is followed. And that was really the objective through there, was making sure that methodical process was put in place. So yes, I would absolutely agree with that.
That's fabulous. So it's 2010. The Olympics are going to be behind us. Things are going to calm down a little bit from that standpoint. Where do you see Retire at Home, moving towards? Where do you see it, in essence, 5-10 years from now?
I see us continuing to grow, continuing to focus on our services and our quality and on our support programs for our franchisees. We are a Canadian company, as you've mentioned earlier today, but certainly the U.S. market is something that we've looked at, as a potential area, as well as other international markets as well. We are not going to take that step forward until we've, feel comfortable in our own backyard and watching our systems and processes be refined and grow as we move along. Healthcare is something that everybody has to deal with at some point in their lives. We know that the industry is not going anywhere. In fact, it's just going to get harder to service and harder for the government, to service and harder for people to really find a quality care out there. So our focus is really going to be on ensuring that we establish ourselves in each market with a good reputation and provide that to the people that are in need. Whether it's 13 offices today or 100 down the road, I couldn't tell you. But step by step is our focus, and that's where I see us going. As we move along.
Do you see any one specific challenge on the horizon or that you're anticipating as you continue to grow as a franchise company?
I'd say that the big challenge is probably going to be in human resources. You know, everyone talks about how, you know, potentially one quarter of the population is going to be a senior citizen in 20 to 30 years. That, you know, obviously means that there's less people that are going to be out there to service them. So, you know, quality employees, quality healthcare workers is certainly going to be a challenge as we move along. It's one that we've been able to overcome over the years, but we know that challenge is going to continue to be there. Funding, I think, is going to be something else. If the demand for quality caregivers gets higher and higher and there's less of them out there, the price is likely going to rise over the next 10 to 20 years. And that's something we all have to be very conscious about, is ensuring that seniors can get the care that they need at the prices they can afford. It's going to be critical moving forward. And so that's, you know, looking out over the horizon. Technology is obviously going to have to be, a big part of that.
A point I want to bring up, and I'd really admire you for this, because it seems like it definitely is. You know the ins and outs of your industry. You know the ins and outs of your business, and I think that's something that franchise organizations need to spend a little bit more time on, really knowing the challenges, the focus, the trends of the industry. And quite frankly, I haven't seen many people that know it in quite as much detail as you do, both, you know, where you were, where you are, and where you're going. I think
it's not hard when you love doing what you do. All you have to do is spend time with your clients or your employees and hear what they're saying and listen to the challenges they're facing and try to work with that. It's as I mentioned earlier, I feel blessed being in the position that we're in and providing the types of services that we provide. It really is a wonderful career.
Could you do what you're doing, and or can a franchisee of Retire at Home Services do what they're doing if they didn't like the business?
I don't think so. We can usually sense that pretty quickly with people that apply. There's obviously a great business opportunity in home care or senior care franchises. When people only want to talk about the business and they never mention the people that they're going to be working with, we don't usually go down that road or any further down the process with them. You really have to build strong community partnerships. You have to be someone that the clients want to speak with and that enjoy speaking with for this to be successful. So I would suggest no. You have to really enjoy it to be successful in this.
Well, certainly it takes a special kind of person. That's my hat's off to them, that's for sure. You know, on a general note, as we're winding down the show, it's amazing how fast an hour flies by. What do you see on the horizon for franchising in general?
I certainly only being in the franchise business for 2 years, 2 or 3 years now. Certainly not an expert in this, but I really do believe that franchising has a place in setting standards out there. There are a lot of small companies sometimes that don't necessarily meet the expectations of the population, whatever industry it might be in. And the large franchise organizations that have really established themselves, I believe, have the ability to set high standards and to really provide a great service, certainly through the systems that they've developed. In healthcare, I'd really like to see more of that, where people, dedicate themselves to the quality of service and really set the standards out there. And I believe that franchise systems really have the upper hand in doing that because of the power of numbers that they would have in their system. And we certainly see that in many industries, and some industries maybe not so much, but I believe that's the place that franchises should have in their industry.
Very good. Jonathan, it was definitely my honor to have you on as a guest today. Jonathan Martin at Retire at Home Services. We're running out of time. My name is Paul Segreto, Franchise Today Show. We're on every Thursday at noon Central Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Until next week, be good, and more importantly, be safe.